Good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for joining us online. Colossians chapter 4. That's where we're going to be. Hope you brought your Bibles. For the last few weeks, you have heard me quote a verse from Joshua 24:15, kind of at the beginning of each message, and there's a reason for that. It's a verse that God has put on my heart for our church as we move into 2021, so we're beginning 2021. I think it's affirming that, and I hadn't even had a conversation with Gabe, but God had put that verse on his heart, and he shared it with the youth group one Wednesday night, and then I shared it, so I know that was an affirming thing from the Lord. People often ask me, you know, at the beginning of a year, so, hey, Chris, what's the vision for the church this year? And for the church, I've never really been one of those guys that come up with a new vision every year for the church, because I really feel Scripture lays out very clearly what the church is and should be every day, all the time, which is, you know, shining the light of the gospel to a lost world, knowing Christ more, discipleship, growing in the fellowship and the community of believers, preaching the word, the truth, etc., etc. We have a vision statement that you see when you walk in our front door that says, to know him and make him known. We just kind of try to sum that all up in that statement. But I do feel that God has laid verses on my heart through the years as we are in our 15th year of East Point Church, if you can believe that. Yeah. And so I will continue to share this verse through this year because I feel it's very important. And it's to remind ourselves that the church is not this building, is it? It's God's people. The church is made up of believers. It is made up of families from all sizes, all types. And I feel strongly that if this local body of believers is going to be able to be a shining light in this community, it is going to start within our homes, it's going to start within our families, it's going to start within our marriages, and so that's why I feel this verse has been a challenge to me, and I'm going to continue to put it out in front of us. And this, let me just read it to you again, Joshua 24:15, and this is the entire verse, and it says, "And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And that is our challenge as families within our church. And the question that we have to continually ask ourselves in our families, in our marriages, in our relationships, is Christ our priority? Does Christ come before work, school, activities, the world's philosophies, etc.? And so this is my challenge to all of us. It's a challenge for my own family as well. One of the most important ways that we will continue to be focused and in line with God's ways as the local church is to continue to preach the truth of God's word and to study the truth of his word. And so that's what we get to do this morning. We get to worship him through music and through prayer, and we get to worship him by opening his word and allowing it to speak to our hearts. And so we will continue to be a church that preaches the word of God. And so we continue on this morning, as we have been for the last several months, in the book of Colossians, the letter to the church at Colossae. And so we are starting our last chapter in this book. And so we, again, are going to be challenged by God's word and his truth. And this morning, and it's so appropriate, we are going to be challenged again to pray. Again to be believers who pray, a church that prays. Look at Colossians chapter 4. We're just going to be in one verse this morning in verse 2, chapter 4, verse 2. Let me read that, and then we will pray, and we will jump into this very powerful verse. Chapter 4, verse 2 says this, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving." Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you so much for your grace and forgiveness and salvation through Christ. Thank you for the hope that we have in Christ. Thank you for the joy that we find in Jesus, for the peace and comfort that only comes truly through a relationship with Jesus because of that hope. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we as believers can gather and focus our hearts and praise on you, and we get to open your word to us. Lord, thank you for the challenge this morning that will be to be believers who pray, to be a church that prays. Speak to us this morning. Convict us where we need conviction, but thank you so much that as believers we can come to you and repent and be forgiven. Thank you for that. Let us be encouraged. Let us be challenged and affirmed in what we're doing and why we're doing it. Lord, again, thank you again for the power of your word. We love you and we give you all the glory. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So in the next few verses in this chapter, and we're just going to be in one this morning, the next few verses, we're going to continue to see the characteristics of our new identity in Christ. And we've seen that through the book of Colossians. And one of the characteristics for believers, if you're a believer in Jesus, if I was to say, raise your hand if you're a believer, I'm not going to do that, but if you were to raise your hand and say, yes, Chris, I am a believer in Jesus Christ, well, then we know that in Christ we are made into a new creation. We have this new identity in Christ. And so there's the fruit of the Spirit. There's things that happen because of that new heart. And there are characteristics about our lives that change, and one of the characteristics of a believer is that we have communication with our Father, that we can go directly to the Father. That was such the beautiful image and the powerful image of when Christ died on the cross. Remember what happened to the veil. It was just ripped in half from top to bottom, symbolizing that now, because of what Christ did for us on the cross, we can go directly to the God of the universe. We have this relationship. Now we can call him Abba Father, which means it's a very personal daddy. We can go to the Lord. And one of those characteristics of our lives as a believer in Jesus is that we communicate. We are allowed to, but we must be communicating with the Father. Believers talk to their Father. Believers are to watch and pray. And so the question I want to ask this morning as we look at this verse is this: what should the prayer life look like for a believer? What does the prayer life look for as a believer? I mean, we know that we're to pray, and I think we're going to come at it in a sense of like, does this look like me as a believer? The question I believe we will be forced to ask ourselves this morning is this what my prayer life looks like? Because here we are seeing this command to watch and pray. What should the believer's prayer life look like? The first thing that we see, and if you're taking notes, the first title, the first heading would be, prayer is a battle. Prayer is a battle. What should the prayer life look like for the believer? Well, prayer should be a battle in our lives, and I'm going to kind of explain that. Verse 2a says, continue steadfastly. Those are powerful, powerful words. That's why we look at the words. That's why we look at, we have all these translations, but we then also have to go back to the original language. We go back to the Greek in the New Testament. We go back to Hebrew in the Old Testament. We look at what these words meant, and that's how we understand better what we are to, or what we're called to, or what obedience looks like. Why is prayer a battle? The reason that I say that is because it says continue steadfastly in prayer. Some translations would say continue earnestly. I like that. I like that translation. Continue earnestly in prayer. The Greek translation for this phrase means to persist, to attend constantly. That word constantly, that's huge. And again, right now, we're probably already convicted, right? If we were to be praying constantly, earnestly, we could probably all look at and think, man, prayer is like an afterthought to us sometimes. Like, yeah, we have these, if we grew up in a Christian home or grew up in church, we might pray for dinner and pray for, we got to pray for dinner. But to truly continue earnestly in prayer, what does this look like? I think the idea immediately brings to mind 1 Thessalonians 5:17, which says, pray without what? Pray without ceasing. And I think that's difficult for us to understand. What does it mean to continue earnestly, to continue steadfastly in prayer, to pray without ceasing? I think we've all had that question in our hearts, right? Well, how do I do that daily? How do I do that when I've got all these things I've got to do, and I've got to get to work, and I've got to do all these, how do I do that? One pastor stated, at the very heart of our communication must be a full devotion to prayer. And again, what does that look like? That phrase, just that thought, brings conviction to me. The idea that as believers we are to be fully devoted to prayer, but what does that mean? Are we to constantly be walking around with our eyes closed? That would be dangerous. Would we constantly to be driving with our eyes closed? That would be dangerous. Is it feasible to be just walking around talking out loud to the Lord? We would probably be taken to a place and kind of locked up if we did that all the time, right? That would be humanly impossible. So what does it mean to pray without ceasing, to be fully devoted to prayer? The idea here is not that we are always speaking words, although there's plenty of that in prayer, but this characteristic is more about a continual posture of the heart. Write that down. What does it mean to pray without ceasing? It is a continual posture of the heart. The Quaker Thomas Kelly, I think he summed it up really well when he wrote about prayer in this way. This is kind of a long quote, so you might want to just kind of soak it in. This is what he says. There is a way of ordering our mental life on more than one level at once. On one level, we can be thinking, discussing, seeing, calculating, meeting all the demands of external affairs. But deep within, behind the scenes, at a profounder level, we may also be in prayer, in adoration, in song and worship, and a gentle receptiveness to divine breathings. That is awesome. That's a posture of being able to pray without ceasing, to having a constant devotion to prayer, even in the midst of life, even in the midst of all that we're doing in our busy life. But not only that, we also know that this devotion to a prayer life, to a posture of prayer, is a battle. It's a battle within us. What do I mean by it's a battle? To continue steadfastly, to be earnest in our prayer life. It means this: there is truly a mental side of prayer. There is an emotional side of prayer. There must be times that we find to be alone where our mind and our will and our emotions are fully engaged in prayer to the Father. Who is our best example of this? Anyone? That's right. Thank you. We see this example in Jesus. He is God, right? He came down in human flesh, and yet as Jesus, he retreated from the crowds of people to be with the Father. He got away to be with the Father. He retreated from doing good things, from doing ministry, from healing people, from the miracles and the teaching that he was doing. He did this to get away to be with his Father. And we look at his life, if you've read the Gospels, and you look at why he did this. He did this for many reasons. He did this sometimes to prepare for a major task. Sometimes he did this to work through grief and mourning. Sometimes he did this just to recharge after hard work. Sometimes he just did this to focus on prayer, just to pray. He did this before very important decisions. This should be our example, right? This is what we are to be. This is what our prayer life should look like. Luke chapter 5, verses 15 and 16 says this. He said, "But now even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray." What should our prayer life look like? As for believers, we are called to continue steadfastly, to continue earnestly, which means to pray without ceasing, which means to have a posture of prayer at all times, even when we're talking and living and working and dealing with families and paying bills and whatever it is. But even underneath all that, we have this posture of prayer and adoration that is going on. But then at the same time, we find those times to battle earnestly with our mind and our will and our emotions in prayer. This is what we are to be as believers. And so I ask that question, is this what our prayer life looks like? What else do we see in this verse? The second thing we see is that prayer is a ministry. Second part of that says, being watchful in it. Prayer is a ministry. One reason that we are not to just lock ourselves into a room for 24 hours a day, every day, within our prayer life, is that we are also called to be watchful in our prayer life. That this means that part of our attitude of prayer, part of our posture of prayer, is that it demands our mental alertness to what is happening around us. The dangers of life, the needs of those around us. This is an awareness. This is a sensitivity to what is going on so that we know how to pray, so that I am walking life with you guys and I know what you're going through, so I know how to pray, that I'm in a situation and I am being sensitive and aware and being watchful to what it is to pray for. This is the ministry of prayer, to be aware of what is going on and being able to bring these requests, these needs, these issues to the Father in prayer. Ephesians 6:18, great verse, says, praying at all times, there's that idea, that understanding, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert, with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. You see, we are commanded to pray for all things, to be watchful so that we know what we are praying for. Why? There is power in prayer. Do you guys, I mean, I think we've got to start there and say, do we believe that? Do we believe that prayer works? I believe it works. Why would the Lord call us to this throughout Scripture? Why would he call it to us as believers, as a new creation, and then say, you are to pray? I love Charles Spurgeon. Here we go. This is good. Sometimes you got to kind of think through what he's saying because, you know, he wrote a long time ago. But this is what he says. In God's word, we are over and over again commanded to pray. God's institutions are not folly. Can I believe that the infinitely wise God has ordained for me an exercise which is ineffectual and is no more than child's play? That's that question. He's like, why would God tell us to pray if it didn't work? Why would he give us some goofy child's religious activity if it wasn't really effective? We are called to pray because It is powerful. God puts us in a position where we can call out to him, that we are continually reminded that he is the one in control, and that we can ask him for those requests. God has not called us to something that is not effective. He has not called us to something that is just some religious exercise. Prayer is a vital part of our ministry as the church, as believers. Prayer is a battle. It is constant. It's an attitude. It is a posture in our lives. But prayer is also a ministry as we are watchful and alert, bringing requests to the Father, as we are sensitive to what's happening around us, and we do it because we know that it works and we trust the Lord. And that brings us to our third point here in this verse, and which is this: prayer brings victory. Prayer brings victory. Verse 2 says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it. And then the last two words, with thanksgiving. We pray, and at the time and the times that we pray, we're praying with thanksgiving. What does the prayer life look for the believer? It is a battle. It is continuous. It is a posture. It is a ministry. It is watchful, looking for ways of prayer. And for the believer, it is victorious. Prayer is victorious. Prayer brings victory when it is done with thanksgiving. What do I mean by that? What does that mean to us? We are to pray with a thankful heart. How do we pray with a thankful heart? When we pray with thanksgiving, what are we doing? As we pray, we are trusting. We are remembering and meditating on God's goodness. As we pray, we are being reminded of all that God has already done for us. As we look back and think of those spiritual mile markers in our life where God answered prayers. Has God ever answered prayer in your life? Yeah. Sometimes we didn't even know what that answer meant for years, right? But we look back and think, good, thank you, Lord, how you answered my prayer. If you've seen God work in your life, we pray and we remember those things. We trust in that. Even at the time when maybe he didn't answer the exact way that we were praying or what we thought, we still look back and we see how God was working. That statement here, with thanksgiving, is a deliberate statement. We are to pray with thanksgiving. D.A. Carson states that when we pray with thanksgiving, what does it do for us? It imparts a spiritual freshness to prayer. When we're praying with thanksgiving, we're putting ourselves in a position to say, Lord, you're the one doing this. Thank you. Thank you for all that you've done in my life. Thank you even just to thank him for his grace, his salvation, his forgiveness. We're thinking those things as we pray to him. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That might seem difficult at times when we're praying and we're grieving or we're mourning, but for the believer, there's things that are so much deeper than our circumstances, right? And so we can pray with thanksgiving even when we're hurting, because we know of the hope that we have in Jesus. We know of the peace that he brings. We know that he is working all things for his good. We trust in his sovereignty, and so we are able to pray with thanksgiving, even in all circumstances. So how do we find this thankfulness in our prayer life, this victory? Again, one way is by what we just talked about, remembering and meditating on God's goodness. Try that in your prayer life, to remember and think about his goodness as you're praying. See how that changes the freshness in your prayer life. As you request, as you hurt, as you plead, as you just to be remembering of his goodness as you pray with thanksgiving. A second way that you will find, that we will find thankfulness in our prayer life, is this: to pray in accordance to his will. This changes everything, really, in our prayer life. Jesus taught us to pray this way. When the disciples said, "How do we pray, Lord?" in Matthew 6:10, he said, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." In 1 John 5:14-15, says this, "And this is the confidence," there's that, I love that word, "this is the confidence," as we come to him in confidence, "that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him." This changes everything when we are able to pray in according to his will. It allows us to be thankful in our prayer life. Because praying in this way, you know what it does? It shifts our focus to our Father and away from us. It shifts our focus away from that vending machine style of praying. It shifts our faith and trust to God's sovereignty, being thankful that he's the one in control. "Lord, here are my requests, and I pray that your will would be done. Here's what I desire, but I desire your will to be done. And I am thankful that you're the one that knows best." Trusting that he really does know what he is doing. Trusting that he really does know what is best for us, for our families, for those around us. Think about your children and how he says, you know, if a child comes to you with love and respect and asks you for something, don't you just desire to help them? Even if it's not exactly what they want, but to say, "Here, let's figure this out." That's just from a human parent. God is love. God is divine. God is the perfect parent. God is perfect in truth. And so won't he do even better than us? Yes. So we can go to him and say, "Lord, here are my requests. Here are my requests for my life, but also for those in our church family and those around us. And here's the requests that people have brought to me as I've been watchful and alert and sensitive. And so, Lord, I offer these requests, but I trust in you. And I say, Lord, your will be done. You receive the glory." This changes our whole perspective and allows us to be thankful in our prayer life. Ian McNaughton says this: "Faith tells us that God's good pleasure is best for us because his wisdom is to be preferred to ours. We need, therefore, to submit to his will with meekness while putting away self-will and pride." When that happens in our life, it will change the way you pray. You will come to him with humility, and he still desires for you to ask and to request, and to pray big, and to pray boldly and with confidence. But when you're coming in humility and meekness, you're saying, "Lord, but you're God. You know best, and I trust that. And I am so thankful that you're my Father and that you know what's going on, and I pray that your will would be done." We as believers are called to pray. This is a characteristic of every believer, not just some. This should be a characteristic of every believer. We are called to a posture of prayer. Prayer is a battle in the sense that it takes every bit of us, our will, our emotion, our mental side. Prayer is also a ministry. We are to be watchful, looking around, knowing the needs and being sensitive to what's happening. Prayer is also to be filled with thanksgiving, this constant meditation of God's goodness and what he's done in our life, what he's doing in our life, and a heart of trust and of faith in his sovereignty, praying all things according to his will. This call is not just for some. This call is for all believers. And I think that's what is convicting to me. I think if you've grown up in a church for a long time, or if you've been in a church for a long time, we get this misconception that there are just a few people that are prayer warriors. we get this misconception. Oh, take it to Sally. She's a prayer warrior, which is great. But then we have this misunderstanding that God's only called like two or three people in a church to be the prayer warriors, when really what Scripture says is we are all to be prayer warriors. Everyone, all believers should have this characteristic of our life. And that's where the conviction comes in, because I think a lot of us, we have kind of like, well, someone else will do it. Imagine a church filled with prayer warriors. Imagine what God can do. Imagine what God's going to do. Let us be a church full of prayer. Let us do what we are called to do as believers. If you're a believer, let us fulfill what we've been called to do, which is to be in battle over prayer, to have a posture, a constant posture and sensitivity of even in the midst of life, that underneath, deep within, we are worshiping and adoring and seeking and being sensitive and being watchful. And let us go to the Lord with thanksgiving, praying according to His will, meditating on all the goodness, because He is good. He is good. Let us be a church. Let us see what happens in 2021 as we are a church in the midst of crazy, crazy, hard, hard things right now. But let us be a church on our knees, being prayer warriors and just saying, Lord, use us. Use us to take the gospel into this community. Draw people to us that are hurting. Work in the midst of our lives as we grow in our faith, as we disciple one another. God, use this church to be a light in this world. Let us be a church that continues steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your call on your lives, on our lives as believers, to be truly prayer warriors in battle. But how are we to pray? We are to be in a constant posture of prayer, knowing that our prayer life is a ministry to others as we are watchful and sensitive to the needs around us, and then we are able to go to you with humility and thanksgiving, trusting you, trusting in your sovereignty, trusting that you know what's best. And we are so thankful for that. Even in our hurt, in our grief, we can go and trust and be thankful in our prayer life to you. Let us be a church filled with prayer warriors. And God, use us to share the gospel. Use our lives to spread the good news and the hope that only Jesus can bring. We love you and we give you all the glory. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.